This is, again, I'm so excited. This is one of my most excited, the whole thing, has this been a great conference or what? It's just amazing, and what a blessing it's been to have you guys. You guys have been, I mean, it's just tremendous. And like I said, this was the culmination of a lot of years of prayer. And to watch God do it, I just sit back and it's like, I feel like I'm riding the wave. And it's just such a blessing. I'm so excited, and to see what fruit's gonna come out of it and where it's gonna go from here. But this, I'm excited about this portion because this is where, again, we just get to brainstorm. And I did something different. A lot of the conferences, they do the question and answer, which I think are great. I love the question and answer. And I got a lot of you guys saying, hey, I've got all these questions and all that, and that's good, and we may do that next time. But I really had in my heart kind of a current issues discussion panel. Yeah, I wanted to kind of get to like the meat of things and just kind of talk for a while. We have one question, if we have time, we may get to at the end that somebody gave and I may hang on to. But I want to get to some meat of, you know, just really things that we want to hear. This is kind of the red meat for you guys. And really get, you know, and the first thing I want to jump into right off the bat is we want more secrets from Pastor Jack about people in Washington behind closed doors. Yeah, no, you know, I'm not trying to figure out on the spot, but I mean, if there's anything else that's there, you know, that's the kind of thing we kind of want to know about that. I mean, this, you know, these foreign alien objects are pretty cool. So either way, I mean, no, seriously, is there anything else? And this, I didn't plan on getting to the other side of it with President Trump, so maybe some things that direction later. But is there anything right now you see, because your connections to Washington, you've got a lot of them, and is there anything you see going on that does have your attention prophetically or bring extra interest? If not, we'll move on into these. But I'm just curious, because like I said, you got connections we don't have.
Can you hear me?
His mic's not on.
Is it working?
There you go.
Is it working? Test.
Yeah, there you go.
There's quite a few things happening. I'll just be super brief in saying this, that if you look at the parallels, as I mentioned, of King Josiah and what's going on with Trump,
yeah,
it is shockingly remarkable. You cannot deny that something's going on. Trump himself, I had the opportunity to speak with him the day after he was shot.
Wow.
And my words to him were, President Trump, there's never been a photo that has gone around the world and been viewed more in all of time, truly, was that one photo of his head,
yeah,
between the feet of the Secret Service agent with the blood while he was on his knees. And I said, the next image that the world is waiting to see, President Trump, is for you to go on your knees again and to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Wow. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And but I'll sum it up by saying this, that don't just save your time in trying to figure out what he's doing. For this reason, it is crystal clear that you would never want to play poker with Donald Trump. He has got Mexico on its heels. He's got Canada on its heels. He's got the Middle East on its heels. He's got China. He's got North Korea on their heels. And here's the crazy thing about it. The guy has been gifted by God to authority established by God. And I'm not asking you guys regarding his personality. Forget about his past. How about we forget about your past and we can forget about his past and forget about my past? The guy's called for such a time as this. There is no doubt about
Absolutely.
It. So there's one thing certain. I have a lot of peace about this. He will not in any way, shape, or form abandon Israel, no matter what. He Peace won't do it. His foreign policy is 100% starts with Israel first. If he's talking to China, he's going to talk about China, and he's going to ask the question, how does this issue with China affect Israel? This has never happened before. Maybe with Nixon, maybe with Reagan, maybe with Truman, absolutely. But for such a time as this, he's in office by the appointment of God.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. It's interesting, and again, I, while we're there, maybe I'll kind of stay there just a second, because I want to get y'all's input on this as far as, look, we know God's using him in great ways right now, and God's putting him there, no doubt about that. But when you look at what has to happen here in the last days, we know that the 10 toes of Daniel have got to come together at some point, because they have to be in place before that little horn rises up, you know, and yanks three out, and the whole thing gets established to the Antichrist. Okay, so what I'm wondering is, look, has there ever been anyone in this kind of position with this kind of power and this kind of influence? There hadn't been in our generation that could make something like that happen. I'm not saying he's even trying to make that happen, but could you see him being used to facilitate maybe a uniting of the world, not in an Antichrist or a bad way, but you follow me. Do you see him being maybe a facilitator of getting it ready for that kind of thing. Any input on that?
No. Well, you know, when we were going through the whole COVID thing, and as soon as COVID hit, all world leaders immediately came together and says, we need to have one world government. There was a global call for a governance system for the world. At that, right before that, what really stood in the way of that happening was Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was the only roadblock, really, of any of the nations. He had to be taken out of the way for that globalism agenda to be pushed forward, and it was during the previous administration. It'll be interesting to see if that same spirit of opposition, because it seems like he's wanting to basically build a sense of sovereignty in the United States and not join in, at least withdrawn from the World Health Organization and from the Paris Accords and those type of things. So that's a good sign to me. So in that sense, I don't see him preparing the way. Now, there may be some other things that he may do that people may disagree with about in terms of alliances with people and that kind of thing. But from my perspective, it seems as if he's the one who's standing out, almost like a political, geopolitical restrainer influence, you know, as opposed to a moral like we are.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah, I think,
check. I guess it's my fault. It must be me. There we go. I think I thought about that question a lot when I wrote a book on Daniel, and it was really looking at, is there any indication that those 10 kings could arise before the rapture? And I don't see any clear indicator that it couldn't or could, but I tend to think the aftermath of the rapture is going to be the perfect chaos that would allow that to happen.
I don't
think we'll see that. And for sure we know, like you said, 2 Thess 2, the restrainer has to be removed before the Antichrist is revealed.
Yeah.
So even if we start to see that come into place, we won't know who that is. We won't see him. And in terms of Trump furthering the conditions of the day towards what we read in Scripture, I think, if anything, it's the Daniel 9:27. Again, not that he's the Antichrist or he's pushing for it, but the wording there in Daniel 9:27 is that the Antichrist will strengthen or enhance or push over the finish line an agreement between Israel and the many that seems to be already on the table. Yeah. And of course, every president since Nixon has tried to do that. So the groundwork is already being laid. So if anything, I think I love what he's doing. I mean, every day, like a year's worth of stuff happens. But it's like you said earlier, we have a open door, wide open door of ministry right now that we cannot miss. We cannot get our eyes off the ball during this time.
Yeah, it's definitely a door that God's opened.
This part to it, I would think, is that I think that every nation, remember, he establishes kings, he takes down kings.
Right.
So to answer your question broadly, God is moving kingdoms and players around. There's no doubt about that. But regarding Trump, look, the entire American story from the beginning has been an act of God. From the Pilgrim Fathers to our Constitution,
absolutely,
to the very belief system of a Judeo-Christian nation. If there's anything end times event taking place, I think we're seeing an act of mercy regarding God showing the world, the nations, that the Christians prayed. Look, I know I've been told by other Christians in other parts of the world, you guys prayed and God showed you guys mercy. And so notice that Trump's policies are, they're biblical, they're Judeo-Christian policies, meaning if you were president, Todd or Jeff or Pastor Mark, if you guys were president, you'd be doing those policies.
Yeah. Right.
This is what's amazing to me. So he's, in some ways, I think God, rather than showing us what part does Trump play in the end time events, I think God is using Trump right now to be an act of mercy and grace to encourage people to come to the Lord. Look, you guys, did you see his comments at the National Prayer Breakfast, Presidential Prayer Breakfast the other day? And he hasn't changed this tune. He said America needs to get back to God now.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this is a president speaking this. I can tell you this. I was honored to be in the Roosevelt room. We were having a meeting in that room, and President Trump told me and 10 other pastors, he said, you guys have your Bibles? Yes, sir. He said, why don't you just give people in your congregations the Bible? Well, I was highly offended at that. What we do. But this is coming from the mouth of a president.
Well,
you know, he points to the Bible more than some pastors these days.
Yeah, he does. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. 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 Well, you know, he made the comment too. Of course, you guys know, I think God really used this whole episode. I mean, he really sees God's hand.
Yeah.
You know, in protecting him by that, you know, the, just that graze on the ear there. And it's, you see God's timing, bringing him back in, and then God getting him where he needs to be, and then doing what God wants to do, which is, again, apart from him and for us, that excites me for us as a nation. And again, what God is giving us an opportunity to do, like you were talking about, Jack, take advantage of the time, take advantage of the opportunity. I mean, it's really amazing, exciting. So, now, again, here's what I want to shift now. Again, I wasn't going to go there too later, but I wanted to hit on those couple things because I know people have those questions about what your thoughts on President Trump and all that. I want to go to Israel, which, again, is where everything is and where everything, you know, that's the focal point anyway. And boy, is it going crazy over there. I'll tell you guys that. I mean, it is going crazy over there. I want to get each of you, get your input and your feedback on what you see happening with this. You know, we see again with Gaza, Hezbollah is not totally dealt with yet, obviously, there in Lebanon, although Lebanon's getting more upset with them. We know what's happening up there in Damascus, semi-stable, but they're not stable at all. It's a bunch of madmen up there. What is, you know, when it talks about Ezekiel 38 and 39, and it says when they say safety and they're dwelling, you know, in peace and all that, is this the beginning of that process, and where are we in that? How do you see this panning out? And so I guess we start with our work this way. Jack, what do you think about that?
I think, yes, we're seeing the formation of Isaiah 17. It's got to be fulfilled, yeah, beginning at verse 1,
yeah,
that there's going to be a fire. There's going to be a destruction in Damascus whereby it will never again be inhabited.
That's
again,
right.
That's never happened. Mm-hmm. Damascus is one of the oldest cities in the world. It's inhabited today. Granted, ISIS purged it of Christians, but it still exists as a city. Syria, interestingly enough, is basically a non-existing country.
Yeah.
I think that's key because when you read the players that are mentioned, mm-hmm, in the book of Ezekiel, Syria is not mentioned. The entire neighborhood of nations are mentioned,
right,
except one nation. The one that you expect would be in there, Syria, is not. By the way, neither is Jordan. And, mm-hmm, we know the reason why. The Bible tells us that in the end, Jordan, Egypt, yeah, as well, will be a friend of Israel.
Yeah.
But Syria, Damascus has got to go, according to the Bible. It's my personal opinion that when Damascus goes off, when this fire starts, when somehow the Jews will be blamed for it.
Yeah.
And then that could trigger the Ezekiel. I don't want to put one in front of the other, but I'm just saying for me right now, from my little, you know, looking through a straw.
Yeah.
Damascus is, Syria's gone.
Yeah.
It's just being propped up. And Damascus itself could blow at any time.
Absolutely. Anything to add, Jeff, on that?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing right now, we're going to see with the strengthening of our relationship with Israel, with our help to Israel, Big Brother's back in the house again. And so America's going to come be a big brother to Israel. That's only in some ways going to exacerbate the hatred of Israel around that region. You know, mm-hmm, we're in the end times, we're ramping up to these things taking place. And don't think that Satan is in Fiji on a vacation. You know, he's going to continue his end times.
He is in a place that's hot, though.
But he does have a place there. Yeah, it's a little hut on the beach, a little peninsula. But Satan's going to continue his agenda. So I see that Ezekiel 38, those nations really forming more alliances with each other, just like we've seen with Russia and Iran and Turkey,
yep,
exact nations that God predicts. So with the good that's happening, you're going to see things, I think, the simmering cauldron all around them continue to heat up as we get toward the last,
yeah,
days.
And all of that's mind-blowing when you think about the fact that really none of that was in place before 2011 with, wow, the Arab Spring,
yeah,
you know, or, yes, going back to 1979, Iran was Persia and it was friendly, right, to the West.
Yeah.
Even later than that, you know, Israelis used to go on vacation in Turkey. That's, yeah, not happening anymore.
Right.
So really, that's one of the things when I first started writing books on eschatology, not just studying eschatology, that was one of the things that got my attention was, oh my goodness, all of that is falling into place at such a rapid rate.
Yeah.
And like you said, Syria is a playground for Iran, Russia, and Turkey. But it still says they're going to attack Israel in Ezekiel 38. They're going to attack Israel from the north.
From,
so they're coming from Syria,
yeah,
but Syria is just a playground for these other nations. So to me, that's one of the most compelling. That, and of course, with the prerequisite of Israel being in the land,
yeah,
to me, those two things should get everybody's attention who maybe don't believe in prophecy. Read Ezekiel 36 and 37, and then read Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Yeah, absolutely, awesome. Absolutely. Well, you know, I thought of two. It talks about at the battle there, you know, Armageddon, really the battle at Jerusalem, but that whole region. It talks about that the Lord's gathering them.
Mm-hmm.
He gathers them. Why? He gathers them for judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the worst of the worst being gathered in Syria around Damascus in the last few months? I mean, the worst of the worst. These guys are the top of, you talk about the worst. It's almost like, and I don't know, but it's almost like they're being gathered. And you can imagine if they're gathered in that spot and God deals with Damascus, he's going to take care of two birds with one stone, so to speak. It might be they're being gathered for judgment. Now, again, that's something we have to wait and see. Only God knows. But I look at that and go, when you see all these, I mean, these rebels, they're like, you know what they're doing. You've seen any of the videos. It's horrific. Mm-hmm. And if anybody's ripe for judgment, those guys are ripe for judgment. So you could see that taking care of the northern part. But again, if it does tie in with Ezekiel 38 and 39, which I kind of lean toward as well, you know, that doesn't really speak to the safety part before that. But what about what's happening in, how do you see it panning out with Lebanon and Hezbollah? And then now what's happening in Gaza? I mean, is it really going to become, you know, the
Riviera.
Magaza land or whatever, right. The, you know, the Rivieras, Riviera. So yeah. Any thoughts to start again, maybe, Jack?
Yeah, again, I go back to this. When Trudeau and I forget her name, the president of Mexico, do you remember when Trump said, because you guys have not kept your borders, I'm going to slap 25% tariffs on you guys? And they freaked out. They quickly responded by saying, we're going to slap 25% on America's tariffs. I mean, we're going to tariff on America. And Trump responded back and said, you can't do that. Now think about this for a minute. He said, you can't do that. And they're probably thinking, oh yeah, just watch us. And then he schooled them. He said, well, Mexico, 55% of your economy is based off America buying from you. So you can't do it. Canada, 76% of your economy is based on Americans buying your stuff. You can't do it. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to slap a 25% tariff on you. I'm going to wait 30 days for you to get your borders under control. What did they say? Okay. Watch, did Trump even expect to put a tariff on them? You'll never know.
Right.
But they believed he would.
Yeah.
So China right now is terrified, thinking that Trump is going to keep this going, because you guys, if you know anything about the Chinese economy, it may be massive, but it's massive like veneer thin, though. Mm-hmm. There's no depth to it. A lot of it's propped up. Mm-hmm. And Trump knows how to take it down. Is it good to take it down? We don't know. But you don't mess with this guy, because he knows. You know what? In a meeting, Trump was talking about issues. He went through the cabinet members. This is his first term. And a question was brought up, and nobody seemed to have the answer. They moved on, and they're about the seventh issue past it. Trump's very quiet in meetings. Hard to believe. He's very quiet in meetings. And then out of his mouth came the answer to the question. That was 30 minutes ago. He had been thinking about it the entire time. One of them, by the way, I wasn't in the room, but a friend of mine was in the room on Trump's first week in Israel. I mean, as president, the first time, and President Trump said, "All right, did we take care of all the business? You're not going to hear this anywhere in the world." He said, "Did we take care of business?" "Yes, sir. We're all done with today's agenda." And he said, "Well, not exactly." He said, "Israel didn't come up on the docket today," and he said, "I want to sign an executive order right now, having the embassy move to Jerusalem."
Wow.
And at the time, I think it was Mattis, U.S. Marine Corps Joint Chiefs of Staff, said, "Mr. President, I don't have enough Marines in the world to ward off World War III if you do that." And he said, "I campaigned and I told the American people we were relocating the embassy to Jerusalem." And all around the room, they told him why it cannot happen.
Wow.
Do you know what Trump did? Trump said, and I'm quoting, Trump said, "Can someone bring me a map right now of property that the United States owns in Israel? I want to see it." Now, somebody ran off. Time went by. They came back in. They unfurled properties that you guys own in Israel. One of it was the embassy. In Tel Aviv, of course, but there was a very large part of land. Some of you have been to Israel. You've toured this spot. It was David Friedman's office and his offices. It's massive. So they said, Mr. President, our data shows this. It's going to take 8 years to build an embassy in Jerusalem and $100 million to do it. President Trump said, what is this here in Jerusalem? It's David Friedman's house, the ambassador of the United States to Israel. And he said, move him over here. No, I'm serious. Move him over here. Israel's birthday is on May 14th, 2018. You have 3 months to paint it and wallpaper it, and I'll give you $100,000 for remodeling. Get it done.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And guess what happened? You saw it, worldwide news broadcast. There was a big ceremony on May 14th, 2018. They had that celebration exactly as Trump said, and David Friedman was living in an apartment next door to him. How cool is that?
Praise the Lord. I love it.
How cool is that?
Love it, love it, love it.
And he probably gladly gave up his apartment for that cause.
Yeah. Somehow, it's just amazing.
It truly is amazing. Jeff, let me shift a year on this. Again, go back to Gaza, and we'll come back. We can come back around this. But here's what's happening. As you know, right now, he's saying, hey, we're shipping them out. Mm-hmm. They're going. Well, Jordan, Egypt, they're saying, they're not coming here. Matter of fact, I was asking Jack. I said, look, I thought maybe it was, but I was asking Jack back there. I said, why are the tanks? There are tanks rolling out. They're coming in the Sinai there from Egypt. I said, what's going on? And it was like, no, there's nothing going on against Israel or anything else. They're trying to say, look, you're not sending the Palestinians in here. We're going to stop them. So they're making a stand, Saudi Arabia, they're making a stand saying, we're going to insist on a two-state solution. We're not giving in. Well, last time, I mean, that seems to fall to the wayside with President Trump, and I'm sure this will as well. But do you think they'll eventually capitulate and take them, or is this a negotiating tool to get them to ship them somewhere else? Or, I mean, is this going to really happen? What is your opinion on that?
You know, it's so hard to know because we don't know how strong President Trump's influence is going to be with Egypt and with these other countries. The thing is that we've been in living in this almost like an abused child syndrome. We've been in this season of life where there's been no leadership, horrible leadership. The whole country's been abused. We're like downtown Detroit or whatever. It's like everything's decimated. We don't know what it's like to have a strong male leader in charge.
Yeah.
And now we have one.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, now the world's starting to go, oh, so that's what leadership
is. That's right.
You know? Yep. And so these other countries, Trump may call their hand on some of these things. He may say, hey, Egypt, you will take them.
Yeah.
And here's what we're going to do. We're going to work out a deal for you. But it's yet to be seen what will end up happening. But I do know this, is that the stronger he becomes, that the more influence for political good is going to happen in that region because he is pro-Israel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the more influence he exerts locally and nationally here with, you know, the ban on transgender athletes and things like that, it's going to create a better moral climate. Now, the enemy's going to continue to push back. So we're going to continue to get this battle. But we need to know at least we've got support now. We haven't had that for a long time. So we've got someone who's got our back, basic Judeo-Christian values. Let's get in line with that. He's come alongside us. Let's take advantage of this open door now that we have for ministry and opportunity.
Good
answer.
Yeah, amen. And yeah, it's hard to know geopolitically what's happening, although we know it's all heading towards prophetic end. But yeah, he's playing 4D chess while they're playing Chinese checkers. When he says, hey, we'll take over Canada, we'll buy Greenland, we'll get the Suez Canal, you know, all this stuff is like, it has people on their heels not knowing what to expect. And he's already thinking seven steps ahead.
Yeah.
So it's hard to realize where he's going with it. So I don't even try to predict. I just keep studying this and say, I know this is where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
But one thing that does stand out to me, and again, I shared with y'all, I'm an artist and my brain thinks in weird ways, so sometimes I go down rabbit trails. But what I do think of is the spiritual warfare component, how in Gaza, that's where the Philistines were.
Yeah.
That's where so much evil and just horrible evil has taken place.
Yeah.
We know in the demonic realm, demons are very territorial.
That's right.
The Prince of Persia that we read about in the book of Daniel, I believe is still the Prince of Persia today over Iran.
Right.
I believe there's a demonic influence there in that Gaza Philistine region that who knows exactly how that's going to play out. But we do know it's going to culminate in what we read in Zechariah 12 and 14 and all that, that at the end of it, the whole world was going to come against Israel after a time of peace when they think, when they let their guard down. And, you know, and probably Gog Magog, I think, like Jeff said, I wouldn't be adamant about this, but probably just before or right after the covenant is signed would be, seems to be a good time, unless there's something we don't even see coming before that that lets them completely let their guard down. But the language is pretty clear. Like they're completely caught off by surprise, almost like they were on October 7th, but nationally.
Yeah.
So I don't see that happening anytime soon because they're all awake and alert right now. So it seems like there has to be something like that to take place.
Mark, if I could add this, everybody, I want you to hear just history. This is not me. Let this play out, though, in your mind. The issue is the Palestinians in Gaza. Where are they going to go? Why is that even on the table? Because Gaza, there's about five stories down of the most massive tunnel systems in the world. Due to the warfare of all that's gone on, it's so completely unstable. The entire Gaza Strip could just collapse. It's completely unsafe. So what did Trump say last week? Trump said, well, you can't go back. And everybody starts screaming. And he said, no, you can't go back because it's completely unsafe to go back. It's contaminated by warfare. You don't know, you're going to fall down 100 feet into a hole. You can't go back. And the world kind of like was in shock because their emotions got ahead of their thinking. And they said, my gosh, he's right. Well, they're going to have to go. You're not going back. He just said, you're not going back. You have to go. You have to go somewhere. So Egypt says, you're not coming here. You guys, you should see the wall between Egypt and Gaza.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen it, that's a wall. Egypt is saying, you're not coming in here. Palestinians, you're not coming in here. Well, you mentioned Jordan. Palestinians technically belong in Jordan. Technically. King Abdullah does not want them in his country. Nobody wants them. Why? Because if you take one, there's going to be a terrorist hiding behind the other. It's that Gaza, that ancient Gaza spirit.
That's right.
There's a demon spirit.
That's right.
And that's where terrorism is conceived. So that said, Trump is talking about building a resort and building these things. I actually don't think that Canada is going to be the 21st state, and I don't think we're going to buy Greenland. But I think that Trump, yet to be known, this is why this is the best TV show every day. We don't know what his end game plan is regarding Greenland.
Yeah.
We do know this, that we are in a very, very serious crisis regarding the last 20 decades. Russia has trying to gain control of the Arctic Circle. You say, well, so what? Let him have it. It's cold there. You can launch anything from the Arctic Circle and hit anything in the Western Hemisphere, the northern sector of the globe. So is Trump posturing to scare Russia? We don't know. So when he comes out with this crazy idea, don't get excited. Wait and see, what could this possibly mean?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I look at that. You talked about the regional demons because, you know, again, you see Gaza has always been a mess. I mean, what would it be like if you moved in there? How do you do the art of the deal with the demonic realm?
Right.
You know, I
pray.
Mean, yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, what are you going to do with
make
that?
No so, deal.
Yeah, it's just amazing to watch how this is going to all, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, I know when I ask you these questions, I know there isn't really answer to a lot of them. But I want to get your thoughts and where you're coming from with this. You know, one of the thing, and we're running out of time. I know. But believe it or not, I've got to go teach tonight. So yeah, no. But so we have to finish in time. Well, then Mark, just leave and let them keep going. I know what you're thinking. And if I didn't think that they were so exhausted, I would just do it. I'd say, I'm heading out. You guys just take it from here and go. We'll just do that. But one last thing I want to ask you guys about. You know, we talk about the battle coming in. It's going to be some kind of, with Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's going to be some kind of supernatural thing. I mean, there's not going to be some great move by Israel or great move by America because it says the whole world's going to know God did it.
Right.
Not that they're going to all be saved, but they're going to, God did this. Have you ever thought, what is this going to be? What are some ideas? Any thoughts you have on what, or have you ever thought? I'm sure
just
you have.
It's only what it says. It's that God is going to intervene supernaturally against that invading army of those coalition of nations.
Yeah.
And they will die. The invaders will die in the mountains of Israel.
Yeah.
They're not even going to make it to their targets.
Yeah.
How's that going to happen? I do not believe that they're going to use... I don't think Israel's going to use either Iron Dome or what's the new thing they've been using, the Iron Laser. They've got David Sling, the Iron Dome, and then they've got that blade. What is that thing?
Oh, yeah.
They're using that laser blade.
Yeah, I forget the name. I know what you're talking about.
I don't think they're going to use that stuff and say, see what we did? Look, we did it. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be, and if I understand Isaiah 17 rightly, if you read it carefully, and they're somehow connected, it tells you in Isaiah 17 that Israel becomes exhausted from defending itself. It says that they'll be weakened by what transpires in Isaiah 17. Mm. If there's a correlation between 17 and Ezekiel 38, I don't think man's going to be able to get, I don't think the Jews will be able to take glory. I don't think America or anybody else is going to be able to take the glory.
Yeah.
That's why I believe, as you just said, the scripture teaches that when the Ezekiel battle happens, that's why I personally place it right at or near after the rapture. Mm-hmm. Because Israel's eyes are focused on God at that battle.
Yep. Yep.
No one comes to Israel's aid. Remember, it even says, no nations will come to help her.
Right. Right.
Well, we will right now.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to be us then.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And their eyes are going to be like Paul's, where the scale is going to begin to fall. There's going to get a Jew saved, then 10, then 1,000. And then it just begins to happen more and more. And do you believe that the Ezekiel battle preempts the advent of the Antichrist? Do you believe the Ezekiel battle is pre-Antichrist?
Pre-Antichrist. It could be. Obviously, if you have this war, the key here is that Israel has to be living securely.
That's right.
So what causes Israel to live securely? Is it the peace treaty? Is that what causes them to live securely? Or is there something else, as Todd just said, that may happen that would create that false sense of security there? Here comes Ezekiel 38 war.
Boom.
And then after that, guess what? There is nobody to defend the Temple Mount. Antichrist says, hey, I got a great deal, and I'm going to throw in the Temple Mount.
That's right.
And you can build your temple. Now, something Jack said in his message really sparked my mind. And when you're talking about Satan being able to do wonders and deceiving. And, you know, my brain went straight to that 2 Thessalonians passage.
Oh, boy.
Where it talks about Antichrist. Listen to this. It says, Antichrist, whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, as to be saved. So here's the thing. The rapture is going to be the next great miracle.
That's true. Absolutely. You
know? I mean, we're going to be transformed. I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of or billion of Christians are on the planet, but after we vaporize and vanish and fly up, the whole world's going to be spun into chaos, and in comes Antichrist, as our good friend Jan Markell always says, Mr. Fix-It. He's going to come in and offer this great solution. But here's the thing. This word... These two words here where it says signs and false wonders, Simeon and Teros, are the exact two words used to describe the miracles of Jesus. So you want to talk about the supernatural ramping up in the last days? The launch of it is the rapture. After that, now here comes, as you said, all of this demonic activity that is fully convincing to the world. And then here comes God with supernatural deliverance of Israel. So the whole world's going to move into a time of the supernatural. And even during the tribulation period, Revelation 13 says the false Christ will do powers and signs and wonders, call down fire from heaven. So it's going to go into a huge era of miracles in the supernatural, both godly with the two witnesses and both demonic with the false prophet and Antichrist.
And remember, it says regarding the tribulation saints, I believe it's regarding the tribulation saints, where it says that these signs and wonders are going to be so incredible that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived.
That's
everybody, you can take a deep breath and relax. Number one, you're the church age believers.
Yeah. Yeah.
The tribulation saints are not part of the church. There's the Old Testament saints, there's the church age saints, and then there's the tribulation saints.
Yes.
The deception is going to be so incredible during the tribulation period. If it were possible. Anybody have first course in logic? If it yeah. says, if it were possible, what does that mean?
Not
it means it's not possible.
No.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's going to be, the only ones who will not be deceived are the believers. Everybody right. else will be deceived.
That's right.
Amen. And a trip, yeah.
And to answer your question more directly about what's that attack going to look like? How's God going to come to the rescue?
Yes.
We do read in verse 19, there's an earthquake. And then we read in verse 21 of Ezekiel 38, it says, I will summon a sword against Gog on all my mountains, declares the sovereign Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. So it'll be like a Gideon moment when they start slaughtering each other by accident.
Right.
I will execute judgment upon him with plague and bloodshed, and I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur. So I think it'll be, you know, you think about what Israel just went through.
Shock it all.
Yeah. And even Israel's enemies took note, like, okay, Hamas couldn't do it. Hezbollah couldn't do it. We're going to have to amass an army that right. would just overwhelm them. So in other words, if God didn't intervene, they would have won this battle.
Yeah.
But God's going to intervene supernaturally.
Yeah.
You know, real quickly on that, think about that all these nations come against Israel as a coalition, they fail.
Yeah.
Then comes the 7-year tribulation. At the end of that, after humanity running from God, refusing to repent, blaspheming God, they finally come together, all the armies of the earth, and say, let's kill God.
Yeah.
And they amass around Jerusalem, and we have part two.
Yeah.
And then here comes the carpenter from Nazareth, from the sky, to slaughter every one of them with the word that comes out of his mouth yeah. and to bring in his kingdom.
It's going to be amazing.
Amen.
It's going to be amazing.
Amen.
It's going to be amazing.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to throw one last thing in. You guys can, again, this is interesting to me. You may think it's crazy, and maybe it is, but I had a chance to spend a couple of weeks up in Golan a few years back, and I just was kind of exploring the territory. What's going on? What's it like? What's happening? And I didn't know they had a Cain volcano field up there in the north near Syria. That was new to me. Dormant. Been dormant for 1,000 years. So I started researching cone volcanoes. They're very specific. Volcanoes do very different specific things. Yeah. They erupt different ways. And when I read about the cone volcano, what it does is, when it erupts, it immediately sends fire and brimstone out. And it sends out a heat of gas in a large area that destroys everything living. It dissolves the lungs. It just wipes everything out on the ground all around it and shoots the fire so high up in the air that it immediately solidifies. And when it solidifies, it comes back down to the ground on what they call bombs.
That's
and they smash all over the area all around these cone volcanoes. In addition to that, they cause hail and rain and lightning. Mm-hmm. Now,
This is true.
Would it be amazing? Listen what it says, and I'll read this because we've got to wrap this up. Listen what it says. God says, I will rain down on his troops and many people serve with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone, and I will magnify my name. Could it be, and would the world just be shocked to go, this dormant cone volcano field came to life at that very moment,
absolutely.
Wiped out the armies coming in, and kaboom, they're going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And if you guys remember Mount St. Helen, when it blew, Mount St. Helen created its own weather environment where that plume of ash went up, water molecules bonded to the dust, and because of the heat, the lightning, thunder, and you have that vulcanized material falling back onto the land. And you're exactly right about that. And Jesus mentions in Matthew 24, regarding volcanoes in the last days.
Yeah.
There will be volcanoes in the last days and incurable diseases.
Yeah.
No vaccine, no booster.
No 10 boosters.
No booster, no mask, two masks, one booster, four masks.
Well, I hate to, is there anything any last thing you guys want to add?
Thank you for having us.
Oh, I was going to thank you. No, I want to thank these guys.
Thank you all. Amen.
You guys are amazing.
Thank you. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, these guys are amazing. Praise the Lord. And also, listen, also, all the team, listen, did the team do a great job in getting this thing put together?
Yes, great team.
Fantastic. Amazing. It's just amazing. So, again, listen, guys, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just pray over us and kind of send us out. We're going to do one more song. So you want to remain standing. Just remain standing. I'm going to pray, and then I'll have Bobby come back up. Bobby, while I'm praying, you can come on up. I don't know if you have to grab your microphone, or I guess you'll have to bring on whatever you need to bring up. But let's just pray and really ask God, not just to leave, let you guys leave with a blessing. I wish Amir was here so we could do the ironic blessing that he does. But either way, just not just to be blessed today, but again, that God would take these seeds that have been planted. You know, every word of God is like a golden seed.
Amen.
And in the soil that can receive it, which you have that, or you wouldn't be here.
That's right.
It goes into that soil and it produces fruit. You may not see it today. Today, just kind of exciting. Hey, I feel different. That's something neat happened. When time goes by, that Jack and the Beanstalk thing takes off, and your heart explodes for the things of God and for prophecy and for the Lord, loving Him more by understanding prophecy more, and it begins to spread throughout your communities and your churches and everywhere. So I want to pray that God will just take the seed that He's planted and water it with this water from heaven, the oil from heaven. Let's pray. I want to pray over you guys. Father, I want to thank You so much for what You've done today. I thank You, Lord, for Jack and Jeff and Todd and them being willing to come here, Lord. What a blessing it is for them to do this. And I pray, God, You'd bless them. Lord, that they would leave refreshed. I think of Jack, Lord. I know he's got to be tired and traveling and being willing to be 3 hours off and then get up in his morning prayer. I know, God, You're going to honor that. Strengthen them in that, Lord. And I know when these guys, when Jeff and Todd hit the road as well, they're going to have the readjustments. Just bless them and do something supernatural in them to have them restored, Lord, from pouring out for us. What a blessing for us. And so, Lord, but I want to pray right now for all those here that have taken the time to set aside a Saturday and to come here, Lord, to hear Your word and to love You and to seek You. And I pray, God, You would now, again, pour out Your spirit on them. Just the oil of heaven would refresh them, God. I pray everyone here right now, You'd fall afresh upon them with Your spirit. And God, I pray that You would take the seeds now that have been planted and You would water them from heaven. God, just let them produce fruit that no one ever dreamed possible, and let this be the beginning of something in each of their individual lives that is greater than they ever dreamed or imagined, because, Lord, You're the God that does that in our lives. So we bless You, we praise You, I pray Your blessing on the people, and we give You all the glory. Until next time, Lord, thank You so much. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank You, man. Awesome.